Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Greatest Mixtape Podcast. Thanks so much for checking us out. My name is Eric.
And my name is Mac.
And today we're going to talk about, this is a tough one, dude.
Yeah.
This is a tough one to even set up, man.
It's taken us a couple of weeks to grieve a little bit. Now we're ready to talk and pay tribute to the man.
Yes, Mr. Ozzy Osbourne, the Prince of Darkness. Mm. The rock and metal world obviously lost a giant. I mean, there wouldn't be heavy metal.
No.
If it weren't for Ozzy Osbourne and of course, Black Sabbath.
It's like I said, it seemed like a surprise for some reason. Even though, you know, he was, you know, what, 76 years old.
Yep.
And had been, had abused his body for a very long time, you know, and he'd probably been on borrowed time for a couple decades when you think about all that.
I was talking to Chris about it, and I said, you know, she's like, how old was Ozzy? And I said, 76. And I said, but you got to understand, in rock star years, that's like 347 years old. Like, that's like the way he lived, dude.
Right.
Like, come on.
Yeah. And it's still, you know, it still stung, you know, when he passed away, you know, when you... It's one of those things that you could see coming for years, but when it actually happens, it still stings, man.
Yeah, for me, it was obviously, the dick punch, as I called it, off the air. the shock of it. But it was so poignant for me, and I couldn't get over it. I still can't. Just, it was, 2 weeks after the farewell concert?
Right.
It was a very short period of time. I knew watching it. With tears in my eyes a couple times, not going to lie. I knew watching the concert that this was the last time I was going to see Ozzy performing.
Yeah.
And even though I knew that, I fully expected him to be around another couple years, maybe.
Right.
You know, we all knew he was failing. But my God, I mean, again, with everything that man's been through, I was like, he'll ride this out for another year or two. And just like 2 weeks later, man's gone.
I know.
It's mind-blowing.
That Back to the Beginning concert,
dude,
you know that performance of Mama, I'm Coming Home. I challenge you to get through it without tearing up just a little
bit, dude. I know, even if you're not a fan, if you just know a little bit of his story, and then to watch him perform that song, of all the songs they did, like that one in particular was super super gut-wrenching. Man, and you know he meant every word of that shit too, man. I mean, he was even choking up while he was singing it.
A moment.
Absolutely. So there you go. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. We kind of came at this with not a lot of prep, there's not a format. We're not going to do our 10 favorite Ozzy songs or, you know, 10 favorite Ozzy albums or Sabbath albums. And we're just going to kind of shoot the shit and talk about Ozzy and, you know, relive some memories and, you know, share what we feel about the man. And
We kind of just wanted to speak from the heart on this one. Let's start where it began for each of us. Like, Eric, like, what do you remember about as a kid, like maybe your first memory of Ozzy?
So that's a really good question, and I think I've got it narrowed down to the story. And if it's not the story, it's a great story anyway, so I'm just going to claim that it's the story. Yeah. But what I remember of knowing about Ozzy before I even heard a note, I mean, I might have heard a song without knowing that was Ozzy. You know what I mean? Because I have older brothers, and they were listening to that kind of music around that time. I was a bit younger, so I didn't really know who Ozzy was. But I do remember going to the National in my hometown. Mac moved there later on. But my hometown, there was a store. It was kind of like a Kmart. Mm-hmm. It was called the National, and they had a record section. It was tiny, but they had a little record section. I remember whenever we would go, I'd go with my mom or whatever, and I always wanted to go to the record section and just flip through the records. I was just fascinated by it. I was a big Kiss fan back then, but Kiss was it. I can't even say I was a music fan. I was a Kiss fan.
Right.
If it wasn't Kiss, I didn't care, you know? That was the extent of my musical knowledge at that point. But I remember flipping through and seeing this scary, you know, guy, Ozzy, and just being like, oh my God, this guy's fucking terrifying. I mean, I really thought he was the devil, you know? I mean, what the hell? Like, Kiss, at that point, I was starting to realize, oh, Kiss, they're kind of like hokey, you know, circus-y, like, you know, I thought Ozzy was the real deal, man. I really thought this guy was like Satan incarnate, you know? So that was kind of like how I knew about Ozzy. But the story that just is nearest and dearest to my heart was right around that same time, we were at a neighbor's house, just kids, summertime, we're out of school, and we're like throwing a football around the front yard. And there's, you know, me and a couple other kids my age, and our teenage older brothers, and, you know, a couple of girls from down the street were hanging out. And there was a family that lived down the street from us, and they had four daughters. And one of them was just, they were all cute, but one of them especially was just super cute. She was a little too old for me, but she was hanging out that day. And so I just always was, you know, thought she was the coolest thing ever, right? And I remember a song came on the radio. Again, I didn't really know Ozzy's music, but it must have been Ozzy, right? Because I remember her going, I think Ozzy is so hot. And I was like, the scary guy that I look at the National when I'm flipping through the records, that guy, he's hot? And that has stuck with me all these decades later, man, and may have had a little something to do with the person I became a little later in life. I'm not saying I ran home that day and like put on dark eyeliner and started growing my hair or anything, but it stuck with me, man. And I really, I was like, oh, so you can be not that attractive and just be scary and shit and be in a band and still get girls like that. I was hooked, dude. So again, that kind of stuck with me. And then a few years later, when I started, you know, playing music and learning to, you know, play drums and trying to get in bands and stuff, that always stuck with me. And I was like, so I think if we've learned anything, it's that I got into music for chicks, not because I love music. I really don't care about music at all. It was all about women. No, of course I'm kidding. But yeah, that's my earliest like Ozzy like memory. It wasn't even about his music or anything. It was like, he was scary and terrifying, and he got chicks. And that was just the coolest thing to me, man. So there you go. And then of course, a few years later, man, I got into the music and you know, I got into Ozzy first as a solo artist. Because, you know, when we were coming up, he was already a solo artist and just, you know, fell in love with his music. And then so, of course, had to go back, as we often do, and, you know, just fell in love with Black Sabbath. What more can you say about Ozzy and Black Sabbath, dude? And again, we wouldn't have this music that we love so much if it weren't for them.
Yeah. And my first Ozzy memory didn't involve any chicks. That's for sure.
It's okay. Not all stories have to involve chicks.
It was fifth grade, and one of the kids in my class had Blizzard of Oz on cassette.
Nice.
And as we were like, it was dismissal, we were all walking to the bus, and he had, remember those tape players? It wasn't a boombox. It was like that little, like the size of a tissue box. Remember those things?
Yes. It had the little fold down. You put the cassette in and clicked it down. It had one speaker. And a handle at the bottom so you could walk with it.
So he had one of those.
I had one of those.
Oh, fuck yeah. He had one of those and he puts in Blizzard and played Crazy Train. And a bunch of us were just all huddled around. Like we couldn't let the teacher see us. We couldn't let anybody see us. We're just like all huddled around this little tape player listening to Crazy Train. And we're all just mesmerized, right?
Sure.
And you know that part in the intro where that, you know, they hit the vibra slap, right?
Sure.
So the kid who played the tape, he's like, yeah, that's the sound of Ozzy blowing his nose in the guitar. And of course,
that's amazing.
We all believed it.
Right.
Like, no way, that's
so cool.
And I remember going home and telling my mom that I just heard Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh boy, how'd that go over?
And this is right, and we're talking the 80s, the Satanic Panic, we're talking everything, right?
Sure.
And she looked at me and she forbid me from ever listening to Ozzy Osbourne ever again.
Whoops.
Dumbest thing she could have done in that situation. Right.
Absolutely, dude.
The absolute worst thing. So, I mean, just from there, like, became a fan, you know, like, but I would say at that point, still like through the years, kind of a casual fan, like through Diary of a Madman, Bark at the Moon, Ultimate Sin. And for me, the turning point with Ozzy was the tribute album, Randy Rhoads tribute album.
Oh, man.
That for some reason, there was something in that album that lit the fire. And I became obsessed with all things Ozzy from that album. Remember how much we used to listen to that album?
I still have that vinyl downstairs.
Oh my god, like we played that endlessly.
Yep. And, I know, nonstop.
You know, and that's what got me into some of the deeper cuts. And that's how I actually was introduced to Black Sabbath, because on that recording, there's Iron Man, Paranoid, Children of the Grave. That was my introduction to Sabbath.
Nice.
So from there, that's when I went back and started learning all about Sabbath. That tribute album, that's the thing that just, that's what did it for me.
That's cool, man. And that was 1987?
87.
Yeah. 87. Okay. Yeah, man. That album was amazing, dude. It still is. I mean, it is amazing. But yeah, at the time. And live albums don't generally have that kind of impact on me anyway. Like, there's a few, don't get me wrong. But I mean, like, a lot of times you're like, oh, live album. You know, like, it's almost like they owe the record company one more record, right. So they put out a live album. Or, you know, there's so many out there that are subpar. But that one is absolutely amazing. The sound quality is killer. Oh. I'm sure there's overdubs in the studio and blah, blah, blah. But the sound quality is amazing. The performances are just sick, dude.
Randy's guitar tone. Right. I mean, Ozzy at his peak. It's just
Tommy Aldridge on drums, just slaying it, dude. Oh my God. Rudy Sarzo on bass. Yeah.
But then you think about that journey back into Black Sabbath for me.
Yeah.
Like, I was fucking terrified. Like, the first time I heard like the studio version of Iron Man, I remember it. I was in the car driving by myself and I came on and I got the chicken skin and I had like, I was just so scared. You know, the first time you hear the song Black Sabbath?
Yeah.
Fucking kidding me? Like, oh my God.
That was what I was going to say. I was going to compare it to the first time hearing Black Sabbath, and I got scared.
Oh my God.
I was like, no, I can't. I had 2 minutes in. I'm like, I got to go. It scared the hell out of me, too. And again, just a few short years later, man, I couldn't get enough of that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And became that, performed that, played that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just became just a huge part of who I am.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And it scared the hell out of me at first.
Oh my God, I was terrified. Man. But you think about, again, the timing of that tribute album. Because then, you know, next, you have No Rest for the Wicked.
Mm.
And he introduces us to a guy named Zakk Wylde.
The Berserker.
Yeah. You know? So, just, dude, check this out. Think about this stretch right here.
Okay.
From 1980 to 1991.
Okay.
Blizzard of Oz, Diary of a Madman, Bark at the Moon, The Ultimate Sin, the tribute album, No Rest for the Wicked, No More Tears. Dude, in just over 10 years, like, that's the fucking soundtrack to our lives. Like,
a thousand percent, dude. 1,000%.
What a run right there, man. Holy shit.
And what you neglected to do was say the years they came out. Blizzard of Oz, 1980. Diary of a Madman, 1981. Bark at the Moon, 83. Ultimate Sin, 86. The Live Album, 87. No Rest for the Wicked, 88. No More Tears, 91. Almost every year. Almost every year, an album. And supporting tours, let's not forget.
Yep.
It's one thing if he was just, you know, home in the studio making records and pumping them out. But he'd drop an album, go on tour, writing songs for the next album while they're on tour, get off tour, go in the studio, drop an album, go back on tour. I mean, the work ethic is astonishing, dude.
Working class dude, from start. That's how we started. That's how we ended. Just working his ass off.
Yeah. But it goes back to Black Sabbath. Listen to this. Black Sabbath, their studio albums. Mm-hmm. The first album was 1970, Black Sabbath. In 1970, they dropped Paranoid, two albums in 1 year. Yep. Again, with subsequent tours, Master of Reality, 1971, Volume 4, 1972, and then Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath in 1973.
Wow.
Now, there's a few more before Ozzy left, or a couple more before Ozzy left the band, but that first, what is that? That's 3 years, and that's 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 5 albums in 3 years.
Crazy. Wow.
So again, man, find me an artist today that does anything even close to that.
No, you won't.
It just doesn't exist.
No.
And those are amazing. And this is not like a single with a bunch of filler. Right. Those albums are stacked.
Yep.
They're all amazing, start to finish.
That's incredible. What a run.
I know, just, man.
Wow.
Yeah, unbelievable.
We've been talking a little bit about all the times we were lucky enough to see Ozzy and or Black Sabbath live.
This is where I need to lean on you, man. Mm-hmm. One, your memory is a little better than mine. Two, you're just far more meticulous about finding dates and things like that. So lay it on me. How many times have we actually, between Ozfests and, you know, solo tours? And
I couldn't add it up.
No kidding.
Because there was so many times, you know, and between Ozzy as a solo artist and Black Sabbath. I really couldn't tell you. I couldn't locate the ticket stubs, you know, and just, I was like, you know what? I just know it was a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it was every summer for how many years?
Yeah. I mean, it was, yeah, we definitely, every Ozfest.
Every Ozfest.
Yep. And then again, like you said, you know, solo Ozzy tours. I've only seen Sabbath on Ozfest. I never got to see Sabbath tour like a headliner of their own.
Yep.
But I've seen Ozzy headline on his own as well. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know how many times I've seen Ozzy, Sabbath and Ozzy on the same night sometimes. Yeah. Like they did that at Ozfest. And
yeah, man. I mean, if there's two things you can look forward to at every Ozzy performance, whether it's solo artist or Black Sabbath.
Oh, this has got to be good.
my favorite parts, aside from him throwing buckets of water on the crowd.
Always fun during, you know, when it's July, you know, and you're outdoors at a concert. Absolutely.
But, you know, at some point, at least once, he's going to step to the mic and go, "Let's go fucking crazy."
Absolutely, dude. Yep.
And then at least 10 times during the show, in between songs or during song, he's going to say, "We love you all.
We love you all." Yep.
And then by the end of the show, you're like, "No, man, I love you, dude." But I still get a little bummed out when I think about all of the people that didn't get Ozzy.
You mean didn't musically understand?
Right. Didn't get him.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I get it. Like, some of that shit he brought on himself, you know, with the antics and, you know, they went through the drug abuse and, you know, all that shit. So I get how some people could have been turned off by that and just think of him as some kind of idiot.
Right, right.
But just listen to his words.
Yeah.
I mean, he said that line himself in Crazy Train. Like,
you got to listen to
him. You know, Ozzy, he sang a lot about peace. He sang a lot about love.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he did sing about the dark side, he was doing that so others wouldn't go down that path.
Right.
You know, he was painting a picture and telling a story. So I think a lot of people just missed out on that and just dismissed him. Those maybe that are outside of the metal community.
Yeah.
Who just never got it. And I just kind of bummed out, like, that you're missing out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, his death may actually bring some of those people around in a weird way, you know, all these years later, now that he's gone and, you know, everybody's speaking so fondly of him. And some of these people might go, "I don't know, maybe I missed something."
Yeah.
You go back and discover how amazing of an artist he was. You know, like you said, the soundtrack of our teens, at least, man.
Yeah. And everybody loves to sing along to War Pigs, but let's be real. War Pigs is one of the greatest anti-war anthems ever written.
Yeah.
If you're not already into Ozzy, give him a chance.
Yeah.
Like I said, listen to his words.
All we are saying is give Ozzy a chance.
You know, if it's not your thing, well, then fuck you.
If it's not your thing, you're dumb. That's not... But we're not biased.
No, no, not at all. We're totally objective.
And absolutely. And I mean, let's not forget his contribution to reality television.
Right.
Oh, my God. I mean, they were the first real celebrity reality TV show. Sharon, in her infinite wisdom, say what you want about that woman, she is a freaking marketing genius.
Oh, my God.
And as a matter of fact, Sharon, if you're listening, you could totally manage our podcast. That'd be amazing. We would love that. But they were the first. It was her idea to you know, put their insane family on television. Just put cameras around them. Instant television, dude.
And again, you look at the thought behind that and sort of maybe the marketing behind it, was it opened up an entire new generation of people to Ozzy Osbourne.
Yep.
And his music, and, you know, just it kind of carried on that legacy, maybe gave it new life.
Yeah, yeah.
As much as maybe some people didn't like the show, or maybe, you know, true metalheads, quote unquote, you know, thought it was bullshit.
Pissed on it, sure.
Boy, I tell you what, you know, how many more fans are now listening to Ozzy Osbourne because of that show?
Yeah, and that's the gatekeeper mentality that I hate about, and it's prevalent in any genre. I'm not picking on metalheads, obviously, I am one, but I do hate that, where just because someone gets popular, they've sold out, or they're somehow no longer, cool or whatever. And it's like,
right.
No, you get in the business to sell records and make money and tour the world and live like a rock star. That's why you do that.
Yeah.
And like you said, if nothing else, it kept him relevant at a time where heavy metal was not really in, you know, favor at all. And it introduced a new generation to heavy metal music. How is that a bad thing, man?
Right. Who cares how you got into it? You got into it. Right. One of the things I wanted to say here, and if you'll allow me to get a little sentimental here.
Am I going to need a box of tissues?
You might.
All right. Go for it.
But some people will never understand how much Ozzy meant to his fans.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's because more than anything, Ozzy spoke to us. Ozzy spoke for us. Because John Michael Ozzy Osbourne was one of us.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Ozzy. Rest in peace.
Absolutely.
All we can do now is celebrate the music, my brother.
Yeah, man. I've been listening to so much Ozzy and so much Sabbath the last few weeks, man. And it's bittersweet, man.
Yep.
It's music I love and will always love and cherish. And at the same time, every time I hear it now, there's a tiny, tiny bit of sadness that comes along with it. It still makes me happy. But man, there's just a little bit of, it comes along with it now, you know?
Yep.
It's just different.
But we got to do the work too. We got to, you know, pass it on to the next generation. You know what I mean? It's up to us to kind of keep it alive.
Yeah.
You know, since my daughter could form words, she's been singing the chorus to Crazy Train. You know,
that's so awesome. Yes, man. You are doing your job. Well, Mac, I couldn't have said it any better myself. Yes. Rest in peace, Prince of Darkness. You will be missed. You will be loved forever and ever.
Yes, sir. Yep. Thanks Absolutely. For the music. Thanks for all the great memories at the shows. Hey, man. Can't thank Ozzy enough for everything that he brought to us.
And showing me at a very young age that you don't have to be the best looking guy to get chicks. Just be scary and play in a band.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks again so much for hanging out with us while we pour our hearts out about our love for Mr. Ozzy Osbourne. Mm-hmm. But this one's going to sting for a while. So.
A little bit.
Yeah. We'll be back soon with another full-length episode. Until then, I am Eric.
And I am Mac.
And we are out of here.
See ya.
I feel unhappy. I feel so sad. I've lost the best friend that I ever had.